This is the Straight Talk on how business architecture teams can leverage graphic recording and graphic facilitation for greater success. And we are going to hear about some real examples of how these techniques have been leveraged in practice. I'm Wendy Keene, author of Straight Talk, and I am joined today by our guest star, Michael Pemberton. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing, Wendy?
I'm doing good. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, Michael is an industrial engineer by training who specialized in business architecture over his 25 plus year career in both the corporate world and consulting. He is currently a consultant who provides strategy and business architecture services supported by graphic recording and graphic facilitation. And one amazing thing you may not know about him is that he went to a school for severely learning disabled children. We won't have time to hear about that today, but it is an incredible story, I am sure. Well, I've had the privilege to work with Michael during my career, and I'm just so honored to be speaking with him today on this topic because he's an unbelievably rare individual. Michael is not only a brilliant architect, leader, teacher, and problem solver, but he's actually used the techniques of graphic recording and graphic facilitation heavily as part of his architecture practice and to great success. So let's start the conversation. Michael, just briefly, how did you learn these techniques and why did you decide to do so?
Well, that's a really good question. And I'm sure a lot of architects are wondering if this is something they should learn. I can tell you, I learned them out of frustration because I felt our models weren't doing what we wanted them to do. And I'm mostly self-taught. I'm pretty much willing to learn what anybody's willing to teach me. And I've worked with some great artists before, and I learned everything I could from them. There are plenty of people out there who can give you a lot of help with this. I've learned from Sunny Brown. She's a constant inspiration to me. I love her TED Talk. I love all the books that she's published. I'm a part of the Doodle Revolution. I learned from Nancy Duarte and her book on Resonate. And that has been, I think if I could go around again in life, you know, get reborn into this world, I'd come back as Nancy Duarte. You know, that's what I'd want to do. And other people like David Sibbett, who's like a certifiable genius in this area and works with, the folks out in California. I love every book he's published as well. I have a copy of every one of them, and I use his material constantly. Millie Sonneman, early on when I thought there's just no way I can do this, her Beyond Words book gave me a kind of a kick in the seat of the pants and gave me the inspiration to get out there and just start doing some of it. There's a lot of other professionals out there that I would credit to, people who I may not even remember their name, but I saw their work and I emailed them and said, how did you do this piece and how did you do that? And the people in that community are just so open and they're so willing to share with you everything that they have. And I stole it with unmitigating gall and I use it to this day. And as far as why, you know, I mentioned that our models are not getting us where we want to go. And it's really true. I mean, you look at TOGAF. TOGAF is a marvelous thing. You know, if you're an analytical minded person, and it's a slide rule collection, you know, it's everything you could ever need if you just wanted to analyze things. But it doesn't really communicate to the business at all. And I realized, in fact, it was when we were at USA or shortly before that I realized we've got to find something better than this. Our process models don't communicate, and you can tell they don't communicate because we've got notes all over them. And our data models certainly are way beyond the business ability to understand. And so we needed something that was more like an architect's sketch of a house with a little bit of watercolor on it that they present early on with a client. And they say, this is the vision of what we want to build. And then from there, they break out to a very rough kind of floor plan, and it's going to eventually evolve into blueprints, but the customer never understands those blueprints. They have to sign them, but honestly, they don't understand most of what's in it. They don't need to. What they need is that artist concept picture, and then they need a floor plan that they can approve. And so my goal was to get closer to that, and that's why I took up the graphic side of architecture.
Can you give us some examples of this? How have you used graphic recording and graphic facilitation in your role as an architect and leader, and what were the business outcomes?
Graphics are really an advanced form of communication. They're really a better thing than words, and we all know that that's the case. And we have you know, hackney sayings like a picture is worth a thousand words. And our very first attempts as humans at communication came through pictures, not through words. In fact, I even look at typography as really a form of graphics. And I use these in really four different ways. The first way, probably my most requested service, is in the graphic recording way. You know, graphic recording is kind of hard for people to do because it means you got to stand in front of the room with your back to the room. You have to really pay attention. You can't get lost in your own thoughts. You're in front of God and everybody recording what's going on. Everybody is seeing it. And it can be nerve-wracking for people the first time around. But it's really practicing, building up an encyclopedia of stuff that you do yourself and getting up there and trying it the first time or two. It breaks down the wall and it gets going. The hard part is you have to give up your critical thinking, your analytical side of your brain while you're doing it. You have to hijack that whole half of your brain and use it for storing what you're listening to and then regurgitating it to yourself later so that you can synthesize it into a picture. And it's kind of funny, but I find when I do graphic recording that it actually changes the way people in the room converse with each other. And the way that it does that, it causes people to realize that what they say could be represented graphically. And so they begin to use word pictures. For instance, in one meeting recently, I was drawing and somebody behind me said, you know, somebody was presenting said, I think it's a lot like a swimmer in the water. What we really need to do is reduce the motion in the water. The part that everybody doesn't see, we need to get slicker and better at. And so I drew the water line and the swimmer in the water line and put the note on there, we need to reduce the motion in the water. And then he came and had to point at the picture again later and said, this is it, this is what I'm saying. So it changes actually the communication in the room when people begin to see you recording it graphically. The other way is for co-creation. And that is when you get good enough at graphics, and you don't have to be great, you just have to be better than the average stick figure kind of thing. You need to be able to draw in some perspective. If you can draw a cube, you're like halfway there. Put a triangle on it and get a rooftop and get some space on it. And be able to describe some relationships in space on the board, and it helps you to co-create solutions that people have a hard time expressing otherwise. Even in the data world, I find that. I can draw a database and I can draw a data table and a few arrows here and some notes there. And pretty soon people are beginning to understand how the data is moving and stored and why we're having the problems we're having now. And then we can address solutions. So I find that evolves then later on. And I'll get into that in a minute, the evolution of those things. But I think that's the second way. The third way is graphic facilitation. And that's a little different. That's where you're not a passive participant. You're a very active participant. In fact, you usually plan out what the work sessions are like or what the facilitated session would be like. Usually come with some graphic workspace called a canvas that you can work on, sort of like the business model canvas, but there's a whole lot of other ones that you can develop, all designed to get the information out of people and in front of the group so that you can think about it as a whole. Even then, in those situations, on every 3x3 sticky, I want no more than 3 words and at least 1 graphic picture so that people can stand back and take it in. In any case, we have a starting point and an anticipated endpoint. But when we look at a picture, we don't start in the upper left and scan it to the lower right. We step back and let the picture enter into our mind. And that's what the graphic facilitation allows you to do. And it's a very energetic kind of way to use the graphics. And then the last way is through animation. That's when you take those graphics and you put them into an animated form so that people can see the graphic unfold in front of them. It doesn't even necessarily have to have a soundtrack to it. But if they can see the parts of the picture coming together in front of them, that often helps them puzzle out or suss out, if you will, or understand what the nature of the problem is and arrive at new conclusions and understanding about the problem. You know, as far as how, like examples of how I use it, while there's just a lot of those examples, but there's one that's kind of my favorite, and that was working here in Texas with a quick service restaurant chain. I was joined kind of at the hips with the strategy people, a very brilliant woman named Monica Dominguez. I still work with her. And we're trying to come up with a way to get them strategy all the way down to execution in a seamless and painless fashion. And so we came up with this idea of hiding all the business architecture, all the set theoretical mumbo jumbo back there of value streams and processes and capabilities and technology and all that stuff. Hide it behind the scenes where they wouldn't see it. And insert between those models and the business people a set of graphical models that don't look like technology, but really are tied to all those business architecture models underneath. And we did that by starting out with we scheduled some meetings with the business leaders and just went in. We were kind of known as the people who always clean the whiteboards, because we'd go in and clean down the whiteboard thoroughly. And we had our own special set of markers we'd take with us. And then we'd say, okay, describe to us what you see as your challenges in the future and what you want the future to be like if you could have it your way. And we would draw that picture out for them there in that meeting. And then we called that a vignette. And we gathered all of those before the strategy management process. And then we went into the strategy management process and put those 11 by 17 papers all up along a timeline on the wall, and then proceeded to let them tell us every bad thing that we did on all those pictures. And we made ourselves the center of their critique so that you could tell us what we did wrong in the picture. And in so doing, you were telling us what was right. And we'd sketch again and we'd draw again. And by the time we got out of there, we had everything we needed to put together a workbook of those pictures with lots of empty space and dotted pages in it for them to put notes on. And it still was all hand-drawn. Nothing, you know, I would convert it into vector graphics so that it would print cleanly, but it was still hand-drawn stuff all over it. And that allowed them to go through a deep thinking process, thinking through pictures instead of documents full of words that honestly nobody has time to read. By the time we got down to the end at the final strategy meeting, we had published a hardback, professionally bound, full-color playbook for the future. Almost nothing in it is any longer hand-drawn. It all looks like professionally developed graphics. That's where my graphic artist came in. It was so powerful that the CEO stood up at the end of that meeting and said, "We have got to control every copy of this, because this would be like handing candy to our competition. If they got their hands on this thing, they'd be able to kill us with it." And it's that powerful a document for them. That practice continues there to this day.
Wow. Can you pick just one of those examples? How do you think the outcome would have been different if you had not leveraged these techniques?
I can tell you exactly what would happen. We publish these models that few people want to look at, and those who are okay with looking at, for the most part, don't understand. And therefore, those models are relegated to the same place that you would relegate your servers. You would put them off in a room by themselves where you don't have to see them, you don't have to hear their noise, and the climate could be controlled to keep the servers happy, and you know they're doing some good for your business, but you don't understand what it is, and it's really hard for you to leverage the power of it because you don't really understand. And that's exactly what happens with most business architecture models. I mean no insult or injury to business architects, but the truth is we're no better than any other architect. We have lots of math models and they work really well for us, but the business doesn't understand or appreciate those models, and there's no way to make them do that. What we have to do is we have to meet them where they're at, and that's what these graphics do. If we hadn't used those techniques, then they would be nowhere near where they are right now as a restaurant company. They're where they are because we gave them that view of their future.
Would you like to share any final closing comments, Michael?
You know, if you're listening to this podcast today, trust me, you already have what it takes to do this. You know, I know so many architects who tell me, "I couldn't stand at the board and draw like that." But you can. We all can. There was a time when we all doodled and we all drew pictures, and we wanted them on the board, and we wanted them on the refrigerator. That went along fine until one day your teacher came by and found you doodling in the margin on your textbook and got really mad at you about it and told you to quit drawing pictures and get to work and do things the right way. And you kind of set aside that skill. But it's there, and you can pick it up and you can do it. You just have to overcome it. And the hardest thing to overcome is your own internal critic. And I know what that's like. I got a bad internal critic, and he's been right a lot. And he criticizes everything that I do. I wish I could remember where I got this answer from. You invite your critic out for dinner, and you go by yourself, and you sit down in the corner of a restaurant somewhere, and you get a cup of coffee and dinner, and you just listen to your critic, and you let your critic tell you every bad thing you do and all the things that won't work right and all the reasons it'll fail, and you listen to it all out, and you don't argue. You just let him spill his guts. And then you hug him very tightly and say, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate it. I've heard it all. I see exactly what you're saying. And then you duct tape his mouth shut, and you go out there and you get to work. Because you have got this ability. These graphics appeal to you for a reason, and that's because you think this way, and therefore it takes very little for you to begin to draw. Just start in your own notebook. Start with a goal of replacing, say, 10% of your words with graphics, and then work up to 20%. And then pick a meeting that's important and say, in this meeting, I am not going to stay in my seat. I'm going to go up to the whiteboard. I'm going to take the marker, and I'm going to start drawing what I hear in the room, and I'm going to start trying to put together a picture of what we're thinking, and I'm gonna let people criticize it, and I'm gonna fix it on the fly, and we're gonna solve this thing graphically. We're gonna get further in this meeting because I'm gonna draw pictures, and then you just set out and do it. Eventually, you'll get to the point where you're comfortable doing it. Everybody can do it, and I would encourage you to start tomorrow.
I love it. Excellent advice. Michael, thank you so much for sharing your time, expertise, and stories with us today. I think we are all going to walk away with inspiration and great ideas that we can use. And thank you all for listening today. Talk to you next time on Straight Talk.